Well, good morning. It is good to be back here standing in front of you. Great opportunities when I'm not preaching and being able to pour some energy in other areas, but grateful for this opportunity to open up the Word. And one thing I've learned over the last 3 weeks as Pastor Derek has been preaching is that I am not Pastor Derek and Pastor Derek is not me, okay? And I think you guys have connected with that, but what a beautiful picture of how God has created each of us differently and how He uses each of our gifts in a great way. It's one of the reasons that we believe in the plurality of pastors as we preach and stand before you, because we believe that we're going to offer you each something different, and yet all coming back to the amazing Word of God and just His greatness and His power. And to think, you guys, that this book has been written and has handled the test of time, and here we are able to on October 1st, 2017, open it up and have it influence our lives just like it did to the original readers. And so, folks, I don't know if you get excited about that, but that's big news. Amen? I mean, that's some powerful stuff. And so, well, this morning we are in the book of Mark, and as we continue working through this series that Pastor Derek got us started with, and just simply looking at the gospel, working down through the text, in the passages of Scripture. Here's where I've come over the last 3 weeks as I've been listening to Pastor Derek and him pouring out all of these details for us, and he has set me up very well to be able to jump off from the things that he has taught and to move right into the text. But in simplest form, this is what I have taken away from the last 3 weeks and the messages. Jesus has come. And He has come in the presence of all of these people here in the book of Mark. And we see that this great gospel and this great power has entered into the world. And today we are impacted by Jesus coming to this earth. And for so many of us, we have given our lives over to Christ as a result of Him coming and really inviting us, as we learned last week, to repent and believe. And so now we are a people that have been impacted by this coming of Christ. We've learned that there's good news of victory in this. I can't get Kirk Gibson out of my head. Every time I make this statement, I just see Kirk Gibson standing up in that newspaper article that Pastor Derek put up there. I remember that as a kid. Not so much this year. Tigers aren't quite the same as they used to be, but that's okay. They'll turn it around maybe. Anyway. But Jesus has come. We've seen in the text that John really paved the way for that. And for John to set the path for Christ to follow, and for Christ to be made a present in this place. And it's powerful that He has come. Jesus has come and He's proclaiming Himself. And I think that is so amazing that Jesus, the one that we worship and celebrate today, Jesus Himself came and proclaimed His own name and His own power and His own greatness, and to reveal that to the world and to invite people into His kingdom, as His kingdom has come, as the text and we've learned. We've also learned, a ton of stuff as we've unfolded this gospel, but as Jesus has come, it really was about the kingdom. And it really was about people repenting, and it really is about people believing, and He's drawing these people in with this message. And so this morning, after all of that, we come to verses 16 through 20 of Mark chapter 1, and we're going to unfold as He just doesn't come to call people or to invite people to this kingdom, but He also calls them, as we will see today, to be His servant. So why don't we read the passage together? We're going to be in Mark 1, and we're going to begin in verse 16, and we will read through verse 20. It says this: "Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat and the hired servants and followed him. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we are just so thankful for the opportunity to be here today, gathered together as a group of people. Father, what an amazing opportunity that we have to be with you in this journey. Opportunity we have to connect with one another as we have already taken part in that, in the shaking of hands, in the encouragement of hug, in the loving of one another. God, as we open your word today and as we dig into this text, we want our hearts to be ready for this. We want our minds and our hearts to make a connection. We want the Spirit working in such a way that we can have a response as we walk out of this building. That this wouldn't be just the main event of our week, but this would be just another step in the process of our growth and understanding of who you are and how we should live our lives. And so, gracious Father, as we dig into this text this morning, I pray that you would bring great wisdom to all of us. That this isn't about the man standing up front necessarily teaching this word, but it is about your word penetrating our lives and having an impact in us so that we can have impact in others. God, thanks for this opportunity. We bring you the honor and the glory in our time. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we see here that Jesus is continuing to be in the Sea of Galilee. And as he's traveling along, he comes up to this sea and he sees some guys, okay? And from our text, we see that there was Simon and Andrew. We see that in verse 16. And if we go down to verse 19, we see that there's James and John, okay? Very familiar with their names. We understand that they are the apostles and they are a part of Jesus' group. And we see here that they all respond and they followed after Jesus Christ. What I think we need to understand before we really unfold about these men and what they're following and what they're about ready to do, I think it's important to understand that this was a pretty significant sacrifice on their part to walk away from what they had and what they were doing and to enter into the presence of Jesus Christ and to follow in His ways. You have to understand that the Sea of Galilee wasn't just some body of water out in the middle of nowhere that didn't have any great purpose. The Sea of Galilee had 16, 17, 18 ports surrounding it. And it was the Sea of Galilee that was the main money source. They would catch the fish and they would send them to Syria, send them to Egypt. Fish was the main consumption of the people of Rome, and it was something that was so valuable and important. There were hundreds and hundreds of boats here at the Sea of Galilee, and it wasn't like they had the pontoon dealer just down the street like what we do. You know, it wasn't like they could just run to the store and go buy a boat, but there was a great investment involved because you had to make your own boats and you had to have a lot of ownership. We even see in the text here that they were sitting in the boat mending their nets. It wasn't like they ran up to Jay's Sporting Goods and grabbed an extra net or anything like that. But it was something that they invested in, that they believed in and that they bought into. It was a very lucrative business. And so when Jesus comes up to these men and they're actually laboring, I think that is one of the most critical parts of this passage this morning. Is that these men were laboring, they were taking action, they were doing something, and it wasn't like they were just sitting by the side of the sea, you know, bathing themselves or sitting out there sunbathing, drinking lemonade, anything like that. But these guys were actually physically laboring and working. And so as Jesus approaches them and sees these guys, what is revealed from our text is that they were fishermen. They were doing that work. The text specifically says that they were fishermen at the end of verse 16. And so, as these men are fishing, Jesus speaks to them. And Jesus says to them, follow me. You know, it's just a simple statement that we find in our text, but he says, hey, follow me. And I'm going to do something to you guys that nobody else could have ever done. And I'm going to ask you guys to do something that is great with great sacrifice, because I want you to change your occupation. This is who you are. You are fishermen, but what I want to do to you and what our text reveals to us at the end of verse 16 is I want to make you, or excuse me, at the end of verse 17, I want to make you fishers of men. Now, I find it interesting that they're on track to do this one thing and to be fishermen. And Pastor Derek shared with us last week on this word repent. And this word repent means a complete turnaround, a 180-degree turnaround. I remember my salvation that I realized that what repent really meant was this is the direction that I was heading in my life. And Jesus called me from the sinfulness and he put me on a path and I turned 180 degrees and I no longer do those things that are back there anymore. And what Jesus was doing here is he was asking them, or follow me. I no longer want you to go down this path or walk this direction, but I wanted a 180-degree turnaround, and this is who I'm going to make you to be. And as Jesus calls these men, and as these men hear these words and realize that this would be a complete turnaround from what they really understood and knew, they were willing. In fact, I want you to look in your Bibles with me, and it's a word that Pastor Derek has been emphasizing the last few weeks. And it's in verse 18, and it says, and immediately they left their nets and followed him. How many of you guys have ever had a salesman show up to your door, and that salesman comes, and he knocks, and we're on the other side, and we respond, and he gives us a sales pitch, right? Right off the bat, he says, this is what I'm going to sell you. How many of you have ever bought something with somebody that just said, bam, here's what it is? Larry Kirby has, okay? Anybody else willing to admit this? How many of you just bought something? You didn't even need a lot of detail or anything fancy. No, how many of you ever bought a Kirby vacuum cleaner? You guys are thinking about it when I'm asking the question, aren't you? But you know the sales pitch for the Kirby vacuum cleaner is that he takes it in on the mattress and he sucks all the dirt out of the mattress. And you sit there and you go, woo-hoo! I didn't know that I was sleeping on that, number one. That vacuum is amazing, and we buy it, right? Well, at least we did, and some of you other ones did with us, right? Well, here's the deal with Jesus. Jesus is coming knocking, and he's communicating to these men, and he says, hey, I want you to follow me. There was really no sales pitch. There was no fancy dirt being sucked out of a mattress. Nothing like that. What happens is we see these men just willing to drop everything and follow after Christ. Guys, this is significant because Jesus himself revealed his greatness just by being present. Jesus was there, the guys witnessed this, and they followed. Now, we don't believe that this was a cold call. We don't think that Jesus is just walking by the sea. We really believe that these men have had some experience with Christ. In fact, if you were, why don't you take your Bibles and turn with me? I think we have time to do this. Why don't you take your Bibles and turn with me to John 1? Let's go to John 1 and actually see. And if you remember, Pastor Derek has shared with us, this is what I love about following Pastor Derek, because I get to pull from all of this wisdom and his studying. But he has shared with us that this isn't necessarily in a chronological bam, bam, this is exactly how everything has taken place. And so if we go to John 1 in verse 35, we're going to see that there was a point in time just after John is proclaiming Christ and Christ is baptized, we're going to see that there was an interaction that took place with these men already, okay? And so in John 1:35, we see that John was standing with two of his disciples, and look, behold, the Lamb of God, and they saw him as a rabbi, verse 38, and he said to them, verse 39, come and you will see. So they came and they saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. 40. one of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon the son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which means Peter. And then we would go on and see that Philip and Nathanael were called then following that. Let's go back to our text. But the thing I want you to see here is that following Jesus' interaction with John and his baptism, there was this connection with Andrew and Peter, okay, and Simon. And so there was already a building of a relationship with them. And so after Jesus then, they probably after John was taken into captivity in prison, probably and possibly they went back to their old habits of fishing and they weren't necessarily having anybody to follow. But Jesus, out of his great wisdom, comes and finds these men and calls them. And this was a call and an acceptance to say, we are going to follow this man, Jesus, because of all of this stuff that we know about him. We want to follow in his shadow, in his presence, and be a part of his life. And so this wasn't a cold call, but it was actually just continuing to build a relationship. And so we see this response, and they followed. And it was these men that were making a commitment that I really want to dig into in the rest of the message. Here's something else, just a side note that I'm realizing. Pastor Derek loves to unfold all of these pieces for us, okay? And I'm going, that is not me at all. I'm the type of guy that I actually want to give you the application right now, okay? Like, I'm thinking about all this stuff that I'm sharing with you, and I'm like, there's such good news that can impact our lives. I want to get to it, but just be patient, and we'll get there, okay? So he goes on a little farther, Jesus does. After Simon and Andrew are following, he goes on a little farther, takes the two of them with him. And it says in verse 19, as they went a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in the boat mending the nets. And again, there was work that was happening. They were laboring. And as he saw these, and I think it's significant that it's the son of Zebedee, I think that relationship and connection with him. I think it's significant that we see that there's hired servants that are in the boat also working. And I think that it's significant that they're mending the nets. There's some investment that's involved in mending these nets. Another immediately happens here in our text of Scripture. Verse 20. And immediately he called. So there wasn't any beating around the bush. It was automatic. I'm going to call these men to ultimately follow me. And so we see that immediately he called them and they followed. And they followed after. And they left their father. They left the boat. They left the family business. I'm thinking to myself, they left the boat. I hope they weren't in the middle of the water and mending these nets, because they must have jumped out and just swam to shore on the side of the sea, you know, whatever it may have been. But I want you to think about this. I want you to think about what these men gave up. First of all, they gave up normalcy. They gave up normalcy. How many of you like routines in your lives, right? I love routine. And yet, these men said, it's not about the routine anymore, but it's about the man. It's about this guy that we're going to follow. They're ultimately giving up a place to call home. I like my house. Wendy and I traveled for that 2-week time. And I tell you, I really like my house and I like being there. I like that normalcy of that place to live. How about a job? This was probably a very lucrative family business that they are giving up, sacrificing, saying, you know what? It's not about the job anymore, but again, it's about the Christ. It's about the one to follow. Maybe friends they were giving up. Family, we know that James and John were giving up their relationship with their dad and that connection, even as they're working together. And ultimately, they were giving up their lives as they knew it. These men made a decision to follow after Christ without really knowing the cost of what it was going to be to follow after Christ. what we know according to the Gospels and according to the Scriptures is that these men died for the name of Jesus. And what we know is that Christ was well aware of his great knowledge and understanding as God. He knew what these men were going to go through, and yet he was still willing to call them to come and be a part of this kingdom of God, of this act of repentance, and of this process of believing. These men gave up so much to follow this one man because this one man had so much to offer. And as you're here with us today, I want you to process through, has that one man impacted your life in the way that it's going to impact these men's lives? Does Jesus have something to offer to you? And I believe after today, you will realize that there's a great offering of Christ. So let's just kind of talk through the text. I've shared it with you. Now let's kind of bring some frame to the text. We know that Jesus called, okay? He called people who were common, okay? That's what really is going to coming from this text. These were common people. That was what I was trying to lay out for you as you think about them as fishermen. There wasn't anything spectacular about them. We had a discussion in our Bible guys that they potentially were turned a rabbi to have some spiritual duties, and so they were essentially maybe just stuck being fishermen, and yet I think that there was a very lucrative business as being fishermen, but they were common. There wasn't anything supernatural about them. They weren't these super spiritual educated individuals. They were very common people. Do you know anybody that are just common people? Your pastor's one of them. If you don't know of anybody, I'll introduce myself. I'm a very common person, okay? But Jesus called these common people and invited them to come and be a part of this journey that Jesus... They were people with responsibility. I really wanted to put the emphasis on that they were mending the nets, and they were casting out the nets, and they were catching fish, And there's a dad involved. I love that picture of a dad and a son working together, you know, laboring with those nets. And so there was just responsibility. Maybe Zebedee was a little older, maybe just caring for her, I don't know. But there was a relationship and that responsibility that existed. We have responsibilities as people, right? I mean, just our day-to-day lives, we have responsibilities. He calls those people, though. And he calls those people to take that 180-degree turn. There were people who would follow. I alluded to this a little bit just a minute ago. Jesus knew that these people were going to face great punishment and death because they followed. And yet Jesus was aware of their response. He knew that these people were going to follow after him. Jesus knows all. God knows all. And as he was drawing them and calling them, he knew what their response would be in the commitment that these individuals would ultimately make in following after Christ. So we know that Jesus called, but we also see from our text that they followed. The people were willing to come after Christ. And the thing that caught my attention the most here is that there weren't any strings attached. It was regardless of anything, they were willing to sacrifice everything in order to follow after Christ. I know that all of us have experienced, if we have an intimate personal relationship with Jesus Christ, we've all been there. You remember all of that stuff that maybe we've given up and we've sacrificed and said, because it's all for Jesus? That's where these men were. It was all for Jesus. And so regardless of status, oh, I'm just a lazy old fisherman. Oh, I'm just a businessman. Oh, I'm just this. It didn't matter. They didn't look at their resume and say, I don't know if I quite qualify to follow after Jesus. I'm not sure that I'm really in a position to follow after Jesus. They didn't go there. You've ever known anybody that has went there though? Has any of you ever went there and said, I don't know that I'm qualified to follow after Jesus? Give me your hands. Anybody ever done that? Absolutely. We've all been at some point where the status, but regardless of it, they were willing to follow after this man, Jesus Christ. Regardless of commitments, Regardless to what they were already attached to or what they already knew, these men were willing to just go. I think we live in a society that we're very overcommitted people. I think we've got too many things that are going on in our lives, and I'm personally trying to figure that out and trying to clean up some things in my life, and I'm trying to say no more. I've been practicing that in the mirror. And that's as far as I've gotten so far, but I'm gonna get there, right? And some of you could practice, okay? I know that. But getting to the point of saying no, unless pastors ask you to do something, then you need to say yes, okay? Say that with me. Yes! Yes! Yeah, that's how we feel too sometimes. But regardless of commitment and involvement that they had, they were willing to let it go. And they saw Jesus as so much more valuable, significant than the things that they were connected with here in this passage in 16 through 20. Even though there was a dad involved, even though there was maybe a family business, even though it meant the hired men were going to have to maybe do more work, Christ was elevated in such a way in these men's minds that that's what mattered to them and that's what they were going to follow and be sold out for. You guys, if we were those sort of people where we made our commitments based on us being sold out for Christ, our lives would be at so much more peace. If we just saw Christ and said, I'm going to follow after Him, and all the other stuff that comes in, we'll say yes to it because it's all based on Christ and it's based on His following. Where instead, we're driven, I think, sometimes by what the world has to offer. And even I think about the family business here. I mean, they didn't even hesitate. They said, hey, we're going, Dad. See you later. And it wasn't about what they could have there, but it's about what they would have in following Jesus Christ. Regardless of ability, what could they really do for the kingdom of God? How could they really make an impact in other people's lives? How are they going to help in this process of calling people into the kingdom? But what is critical here, it was their willingness. It was their willingness to follow after this man. And it was no longer about catching the fish, but it was now about catching people of the world. It was now about something greater than what they could see on the surface, but it was about whatever that man had for him, no matter what the future would hold. They didn't know the entire plan. They didn't understand exactly what was going to take place. But they put their trust and faith in Jesus Christ in a journey, and they trusted Him with the outcome. Folks, what would happen if we did that in our lives? Where we said, it doesn't matter what the future holds. What matters is how I'm living my life in the presence of Jesus. That's what God is calling us to do. That's what God was calling these men to do. Trust me, and I will make you fishers of men. See, because the result of this and their willingness to follow and regardless of all of these things, the result of this was living in life in the shadow of Jesus. Living a life in the shadow of Jesus. What I mean by that is when you think about learning a trade or following in a practice of somebody else and following their example, it's important for you to be close to them. And that you are so close to them that as they cast a shadow, you land in that shadow. I think about this from my kids' perspective. When I look at Luke, I think, man, I see a lot of me in Luke. And I think to myself, that's good. That's bad, right? Amen? God, you guys are getting good at this. All right. And so, but it's bad. And so then I think about Brooke, and I think, you know, Brooke's home from college and watching her and her journey, and I think, man, you know, she's lived in my shadow and now she's kind of blossoming, going out on her own, but the things that she learned from me, man, those are really good, but there are some things that are really bad. Because the difference between my shadow and Christ's shadow is that Christ was a perfect individual. And when you follow in Christ's shadow, there are great things that will take place. There's great hope that exists, and there's no sinfulness that exists. But you follow in my shadows, and it becomes the potential could be very dangerous of following in some things that maybe I do that are sinful and that are wrong. But that imagery of my kids following in my shadows and pursuing the things that I love and I'm passionate about, and it's just awesome to see. It's awesome to hear Brooks say that I want to be a counselor in a public school system. That's a dream that Brooke has. And I think, man, that'd be really cool. And what a great opportunity to have a biblical counseling background and yet coming alongside of young people in the public school system and loving on them, following in my shadow. But then I want to cross that over. What about Jesus? In the shadow of Christ, and when you think about your lives, are you living in such close proximity to Jesus that you're living in His shadow, and that your life reveals who Christ is to others? Is it evident that you are close to Christ, or is it evident that you are close to the world, or close to your own desires, and close to your own passions? Because the closer we live to Jesus and the greater connection that we have to Christ, none of the future matters anymore. Because we are so connected with Him. This was not an equality thing for these men. These men were not being called to be partners, one side by side. And it was a picture of, you come and follow, come after me, one of the texts says. Come after me, and I'm going to show you the way, because one day Jesus is no longer going to be here, and they're going to have to do the work of Christ. And so will we. That is our responsibility and our call, to be these individuals just like these men, to come and to follow after Christ and not allow anything else to get in the way or be a distraction for what is around us. And so as you sit here this morning and you listen to this message and you start to process through the sacrifice and the commitment that was made or let go of these men, and you think about and you start to evaluate your own life, and maybe you're sitting here today and you can recall that day that Jesus called you. And you think to yourself, man, what was my response when Jesus called me? What was it that Jesus has called me to be? And what was it that Jesus called me to do? And maybe you're distanced from Christ right now. And maybe you've forgotten this great call that He has on your life. And you're no longer living in His shadows. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't know that you've ever been called by Christ. And you don't know that you have this opportunity to walk in the shadows of Jesus. Folks, I'm here to tell you this morning that Jesus is there. Jesus is there, and He has either called you, or He's going to be calling you, or you're just oblivious to what is happening in your life right now. So I want to challenge you with this. As you process through, and as we go into communion here in just a few minutes, and as you walk out these doors today, I want you to process. I will follow regardless of. I've given you three blanks there. 1, 2, and 3. And I'll put 3 up there on the screen, but maybe you ought to take just a minute right now and to think about this statement. I will follow regardless of blank in your life. I will follow regardless of how much money I make. You know, that might be one of them that you could put down there. I will follow regardless of what my family thinks. No matter what, I'm going to do this. I'm going to go. I'm going to follow. I'm going to follow in the pattern that Simon and Andrew have laid out for me, and James and John. I'm going to do what they did. I'm just going to go where Jesus is calling me to go. No matter what. Because I'm close to Christ and I know what He is calling and wants for me in my life. I will follow regardless of what. Anybody put one down? Anybody mark anything? No, disobedient group of people here today. Amen. Okay. Anybody think of one that maybe they didn't write down that maybe could be applied to somebody else that's in the room that doesn't apply to you? Life circumstances. I'm going to follow Jesus regardless of the life circumstances. Ovi's saying right now, I'm done making excuses. I'm just going to go and I'm just going to do it. Wouldn't that be amazing? I mean, a lot would get done if that was the case. Maybe one more that, again, you didn't write down that doesn't apply to you. Our own desires. Ding, 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 ding. Winner, okay? Our own desires. Absolutely. Ah, that one. And these three that I'm going to put up here were mine, my personal ones that I was realizing. Regardless of what I want, and we are a want society, regardless of what I want, I'm going to follow Christ. Anybody else? Maybe another one? Others. Okay, I can't ding on this one, but that's good. I mean, that's a good one. I will follow regardless of others. No matter what other people are doing, no matter what other people are thinking, no matter what, this is a journey that I am on with Jesus. And that doesn't mean you disregard people that are around you and that you're associating with. It means that you elevate Christ to a higher level than anything else in your life. Do you hear that? That you elevate Christ to a higher level than anything else in your life. I remember coming home to my wife and telling her that we're going to school to be a pastor. I remember that. And she was like this, no! And kicking and screaming. What happened? God took us to Pennsylvania. Man, I mean, no matter what, I didn't bully her. I didn't grab her by the hair and say, woman, you're coming with me no matter what. It was a process. Hey, honey, let's live together in the shadows of Jesus. You know what? I miss living in that shadow sometimes with my wife. I miss that. I remember back in those days when my relationship with Christ was so strong and there wasn't all these distractions that were taking place, that it was just so sweet to be able to walk together in the shadows of Christ. It is such a wonderful place to be in the shadows of Jesus. Can anybody else relate with me in this? Just no better place. I will follow regardless of desire. I will follow regardless of distractions. And I will follow regardless of deficiency. That's me. Because I have my own personal desires, and sometimes I want my desires more than Christ's. I think back to these men and this journey that these guys are on now with Jesus, and they let their desires go. They let their distractions go, their commitments that I talked about earlier. They just let all of that stuff go. And their deficiencies. These guys weren't qualified to follow in the shadows of Jesus. As John says earlier, was it in this? I don't know. I'm not even able to deal with the straps of his sandals, John says earlier in this passage of Scripture that Pastor Derek shared with us. Deficiencies. I'm not qualified for this. But regardless of that, they were willing to go with Jesus wherever Jesus asked them to go. Folks, are you willing? Are you in a position in your life that you don't none of that stuff matters? And I know there's a lot of questions and you got to process through some things. Man, am I really ready? And am I can I make this sort of commitment? And it's either a commitment to continue to follow, or maybe today it's a commitment to follow Jesus. To surrender your life for the very first time, to say, you know what, I want this. I want to live in the shadows of Christ because I know that is the place that I need to live my life. And I need to give and surrender my life to Jesus Christ today. I need to believe that He came and He died and that He was raised on the third day. I need to believe that His blood was sufficient for me to have eternal life with Him and to live in His presence, to be able to function like these men functioned with Jesus. You're on that one side of the line or the other side. You're either not a follower of Christ or you are. But I think for both of us, we need to be drawn and connected to Jesus in a greater way. Because here's the great news, the good news. Jesus is available to follow. He's right there. He is right there for us to be able to follow. Man, I hope that you can walk away here this morning and look at these four men and realize that Jesus is amazing, that He has come and that He is there, and that today is the day to make a commitment to follow after Him for the first time or in a greater way That is what he is calling us to do.